You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stopped, opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Did you ever find the cockroach in your car?
No, I believe that he has been evicted.
Oh,
why? Because I haven't found
that.
Him.
Or died of natural causes.
Or died by natural causes. Nah.
I've been in your car twice since the cockroach.
Have you seen him?
Both times I've sat on the edge of the seat.
Have you seen him?
I have not.
Okay. Well, there you go. I served an eviction notice when I put the trap in. Maybe he got it. Maybe he, you know.
He made a 2-bedroom flat right now out of a French fry in the backseat.
Yeah, got yourself a roach motel in that car.
No, that's the first thing I did. No,
he's going to start charging rent.
Yeah, well, in this economy, yeah.
Yeah.
I looked back there and there wasn't anything back there food related. I passed a little vacuum all the way down. Mm-hmm. Even though I do have a couple hats and shirts back there, which I need to figure out what I'm doing.
Yeah. Oh,
more importantly.
Might want to wash those.
Maybe. More importantly. Guys, I went to the dentist.
Uh-huh.
And he told me some bad news.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah. Stuff that I didn't really know. So my dentist has this like contraption that you put your face into and it takes a scan of your entire face.
I think
right?
I did this when I had like braces.
Yeah,
it's
not an X-ray.
No, it's like a 3D scan.
It's like a 3D scan. And he's really big on airway, like air passage and
he's
stuff.
He's big on airways.
Yeah.
Big air guy.
Loves
yeah.
When his
yeah.
Patients
your mic
breathe.
Is a little far away. Oh, anyway.
Off mic coming.
Chris Cody yelling across the room. It works.
Now you know how I feel.
Welcome to Mystery Creep.
Oh, yeah.
So they showed my airways, and there was a lot of red, which never is good,
not
right?
Good.
Whenever
not
you see
good.
Something medical and it's red, it's like, ugh.
Yeah, we don't want red.
Not great. Had to do a sleep test. He came back and said, hey, you sleep like shit. And I was like, brother, I know. That's why I'm here. Like, what's the deal? So he gave me some bad news. He says, your palate is not collapsed, but very narrow. It's forcing you to breathe out of your nose. Billy, you went to the dentist recently, didn't you? Don't answer that. More importantly, you can come. No, come back and sit down.
Billy.
Get out of here then.
Okay, go sit in Stugatz's seat.
So he told me two very pricey options on how to fix my situation. One of them includes me getting one of those things that you crank on your palate. He's gonna like drill it into my palate.
Yeah, you showed me a picture of that. It looked very mechanical.
It's like a medieval torture device.
Who is this?
My dentist. Shout out to Dr. B.
Dr. B.
Yeah. So he showed me that. That was compounded with the archaic machine that opens my palate and then braces for 2 years. And I'm like, dude, I'm 30. And he's like, brother, you should have had it at 14. And I'm like,
braces
blame my parents.
Braces for 2 years, like metal, not
like brace face. Like,
wow.
Yeah, not
you know,
great.
You know when you should have done that? And I was thinking about it because I had braces for like 5 years. And then my bottom got like crooked again because I lost my retainer. Mm. And I was like, man, COVID would have been the perfect time for braces because you just have a mask on 24/7. No one would know.
Damn. Yeah.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
And COVID, I got Invisalign.
Yeah.
And now
yeah,
but you can't
see Invisalign. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Gotta fix my underbite, but we almost there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Salute to my doctor.
Tony, do the same thing.
Thank you. So do you, my sister.
Aww.
You should root Tony for another pandemic, and then you could get braces and
But didn't Biden just say the pandemic was over?
Yeah, he said it last week.
Yeah,
so
but that's not accurate.
Let's head into another direction.
Yeah. I'm just asking. No. He said the pandemic was over.
We did it, Joe.
Now I have to.
Joe, he said it.
Wait, so you went to the dentist to do a sleep study?
Yeah.
I went to a ENT that had me do a sleep study.
Oh. What'd he say?
An Ent? Treebeard?
Yeah. Well, I don't know what that...
Lord of the Rings reference.
Nobody knows what that means.
No.
I know. Aranos throat. Ents, they're the tree people. Treebeard saves Merry and Pippin.
Oh, the trees.
Nobody knows what that means.
Oh, the tree
people. I'm with
Scotty
you.
Pippin?
I'm up to date as well on that show.
Larsa Pippin.
Are you?
Ooh!
No, we should do a
Lord
show.
Lord of the Rings?
Yes, I do,
you,
my
me,
sister.
And Maze, yeah. We were actually going to do one this week, but then he's like, me and Amin are doing something, which, by the way, you guys will be listening to next.
Oh, wait a minute. He hates Maze, though.
I do hate Maze. Salute to Maze. I hate you.
Oh.
Well, maybe we'll do our own then, Juju.
Why'd you let Maze?
Look, Maze is an actual phenomenal producer, and we get along good enough to survive airwaves.
Don't we all get along good enough?
Right.
Yeah. That's all we have to do.
What you were saying, Billy? Sorry, I cut you off.
No, I was going to say, I knew that you and him had a thing, but isn't he in the fantasy league still?
Yeah, he texted me early. He was like, hey, make sure you set the lineups and shit. Like,
oh, shit.
He's so aggravated. Exactly. Yeah. Before the draft, oh, you didn't randomize the draft. I'm like, hey, I'm going to randomize my foot in your ass if you text my phone. Yeah.
The random foot, left or right?
The gag.
So wait, Tony, are you going to get braces for 2 years?
I don't know. I'm kind of torn right now.
You should do it.
I should, right?
Is there another,
there's
like,
health implications, which is why I probably need to do it.
They always say that.
They do.
No,
they
that
always,
is true.
Nah. But there's I get
links,
that.
There's links
we're all
to gum
die.
Disease and Alzheimer's. Like, your health of your teeth and your gums is very important to your overall health, especially when you have... blocked airways.
Yeah, and I have a deviated septum too, which is not great.
Okay, gross. So
maybe you should get the nose job first.
You have to get a nose job?
And then the braces.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I mean, dude, this is like your dentist cousin is like the nose job person they're going to send you to. Like, this is super, right. Like,
it's an inside
insurance
job.
Scam city.
Well, no, if they're going to do insurance allegedly. Scam, like, put me into it. Let me, like, I'll be the guinea pig for insurance fraud, but like, let me have break me off a little bit.
Well, no, yeah, this is like when you said, don't ask me what I do with my taxes. It's the same situation here. Just
that's a different story.
Zip it up. Yeah. Don't just
so, Tony, are you more on the fence because you're going to be in a lot of pain and,
no.
it's very
no,
gross?
No, it's vanity.
Or is it
100% vanity.
No. It's not that. It's the price. When he explained to me how much the price was and the digits of the price ended up being five digits, I was like, ooh, wait a second. I think I'm good.
You gotta talk. You know what you should do?
I sleep great.
They got four digits on
cross the hall. Feldman's here. See if you can get a braces sponsor.
Oh, that's actually a good idea, Tony.
Where's Feldman? Get Feldman. Bronzer.
Yeah, I need it too. Feldman!
Who is Feldman?
Roy, what?
Wait, what do you mean, Roy? I can't sleep at night.
I went to the dentist as well, and I got a little bottom row situation that I'm going to have to get.
But this is my life situation, not a bottom row situation. I can't breathe.
Top and bottom row.
Yeah. Well, hold on. It's not that you can't breathe because your teeth are crooked.
Well, no, it's I can't breathe because my palate is collapsed and it's causing my teeth to be.
Huh.
Oh, well, if it isn't Mark
is
Tank
that
himself.
Yeah, Feldman,
hey.
We got to talk.
Braces.
Yeah, go in there.
In the building.
Get over there.
Yeah, get him dancing over there. Yeah.
Anyways, long story short, it ended up being a very large amount.
Did you do an at-home sleep study or what?
Yeah,
kind
I did.
Of
sleep? I did an at-home.
I don't like
annoying.
Those.
Annoying.
I wanted to go somewhere.
I felt like I was an ET.
And have people like staring at you?
Yeah, I would have been fine with that. I don't care. What am
Feldman,
I?
Feldman, we have a pitch for you. I guess you could.
Well,
say.
I don't know how much of a pitch it is.
Yeah,
Tony, he's already
look at this,
Tony,
an impromptu Mark Tank.
I'm super nervous about this.
Oh,
wow! Is that speaking to the mic, by the way?
Can I call you the fail dog? Can I call you the fail dog?
The feral dog.
Feral dog. Yeah. A lot of people say Bizarro Kramer from Seinfeld.
Okay.
Here's Feldman.
That's cool. Yeah, Feldman.
I was going more
good callback.
Corey Feldman. Have you seen his latest video?
I have not seen Corey Feldman's latest video.
I'm going to shoot you the link, my
dear
brother.
Dear Lord. It's probably not great.
Why have you?
Because I listen to certain podcasts. I don't know if I can mention other podcasts
to.
No,
not unless they're DraftKings sponsored.
Yes. Exactamundo. And we make fun of Corey Feldman all the time.
Ah. We. Are you on this podcast?
The Two Corys was a very good show. Okay. Anybody see
Which
the two
show?
The two Corys? It was Corey Haim and Corey Feldman.
Oh, I
Precisely.
Heard
it was really good.
Yes, sir.
Very good. I never saw it, though. Well,
take it away, Tony.
You can't watch it.
So Tony is having issues with his teeth and his sleeping, and he went to the dentist, and they assessed the issues, and they told him that he may need a lot of dental work done, including braces, and unfortunately, it's going to cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So we're asking if you know of any maybe plastic surgeons or dental surgeons or dentists or orthodontists who maybe want to sponsor Tony's journey to better teeth health.
Or dental, Invisalign.
Invisalign, or I've got a buddy at Invisalign.
So, Mark, here's the
sitch. Me too, Mark.
Here's the sitch.
Everybody wants some.
My bottom is a little.
Billy as well.
We're not talking about you
and
right
his
now.
His teeth, too.
What?
That's it. Yeah.
Hmm.
Whoa.
What?
Hmm.
Wow. It's
okay. We don't have an HR department. It doesn't matter.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
no, right. Go to Hildy.
Listen, Mark, Dr. B said that Invisalign wouldn't work for me, which I think may be a scam. I'm not 100% sure, but he says I need the medieval torture device for sure. But the Invisalign, he's like,
the thing on the side that like pulls
like you
your teeth.
Pull everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah, God, that's no.
Not
good.
Not only will I have that in my mouth drilled to my palate, it's gonna make all my teeth separate, so I'm gonna look super goofy.
I remember, man, growing up, like walking into the orthodontist's office where you saw like the little mannequin heads that had all the different examples of those devices on top of them, and you were always looking at them like, God, I hope that's not the one that I have.
Well,
to
that's
do.
The one that I have to do.
Wow.
I don't know if Invisalign has that, but my daughter, my oldest daughter, has braces now. She just got them about 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And she's got to have that.
How old
is she?
She's
12.
Okay, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's my point. It's more my parents' fault.
Yeah, it's more my parents' fault
than anything.
It's unfortunate.
Thanks, Mom.
Your parents let you down.
You know, my sleep study, they said they needed to laser things into my, like, in my nose to, scrape them down.
Oh, yeah, we talked about this.
Yeah. I said, no, thank you. I'll keep snoring.
Have you guys ever had to get...
Doesn't bother me.
Only bothers your wife. An impression done of your teeth for, like... braces or like a retainer.
Yeah.
Because they sent me mine, like the mold of my teeth.
Original teeth?
What the hell do I... No, my current teeth.
Oh, okay.
What am I supposed to do with that? It's just a model of my teeth.
I think it's for
your
records.
Apartment.
Yeah, just records.
I just put it there. Like I leave it in the cabinet. So like when anyone comes over and opens the cabinet, my teeth are just there.
Yeah, put it on the mantle. Yeah.
So I've got a good story about that, actually. Kind of derailing this conversation. I apologize.
We don't do that. No derailment.
So, my daughter recently learned that there was no tooth fairy, and
she found the teeth
that we were keeping because
we kept them.
It's weird,
what?
Right? And she opened the drawer. She's like, "What is this?" I'm like, "Yeah, that looks really weird."
You would expect to see it in Whittingham's drawer, but like maybe not in yours. Yeah.
Wow.
Don't panic. Yeah. These are your
teeth.
So
note to self for the parents out there.
Throw away the teeth.
Just throw the teeth away.
Yeah.
Just throw the teeth away. It's creepy.
Daddy, are you Texas Chainsaw? Yeah.
The Zodiac Killer is
the
Mark
bone
Feldman.
Collector.
Billy, what do you think?
I don't know.
Invisalign.
Yeah.
Invisalign. Smile Direct Club too. They used to do a bunch of podcasts.
Look at that option.
Well,
that
do it for me.
Horrifying.
Yeah, that's not a
that,
that's
that gets drilled
we need,
into
US
my palate
to sponsor.
Are these
that.
Your are these your teeth or this is
no
what
no
was,
that's just an example that he had.
Drew, I'm gonna send this to you so you can make this.
We could have
like
a tool company like Home Depot, like a tool company going in and
a welder. Can we get
welders?
Yeah,
a local welders union.
Steam fitters.
I wonder if Stu Gans is still going to...
Local 187 Welders Union.
College game day in Tony's mouth, built by the Home Depot.
Hey, Fail Dog, I got a question.
Football,
I got an important
Home
question
Depot.
For you, Fail Dog.
Yeah.
Is Tua for real?
I enjoy him. I like him. I think he's good. I think he's going to be a good player.
PPR, well, right. Not
I mean,
PPR.
He beat out Jalen Hurts, right?
Hey.
He beat out Jalen Hurts.
I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. I guess.
Well, yeah, that one time.
That one time.
Until Jalen Hurts needed to bail him out. In the SEC championship game.
Yeah.
I like it.
Here's a mean rule of two with Anthony Mays.
Transition.
Back, baby. We are back, and Star Wars said it's back too, and I am thrilled. This is Rule of Two. My name is Darth Amin. I'm joined, as always, by my apprentice, the Padawan Anthony Mays, aka Darth Cornpuzzle. The Star Wars series Andor has finally dropped, and they dropped 3 episodes, pretty much like a little movie there, like an hour and a half of content there, Maze.
That's what I really enjoyed about it. I thought I would just dip my toes, watch maybe the first episode, come back, watch the other two a little bit later. But that first episode ended, I had no choice. I had to keep going. I had to watch the next one. Same result with episode 2. And it was a beautiful little 3-episode arc. It worked really well. It sewed up nicely there at the end, and we're underway.
And we still haven't even seen any Imperials yet. How about that? Holding the cards close to the vest. Let me just start with saying, before this came out, there was a lot of rumors and interviews and stuff like that where we were getting a vibe of what it was going to be like. I know, Maze, you got a Tony Gilroy interview you want to reference. I just know he said one thing. There will be no fan service in this series. And, you know, sometimes you think, man, they're just saying that shit. And then they end up like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if Han Solo showed up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But at least through three episodes, there was zero fan service. It reached the point where I'm watching, like, is anyone else going to like this? Because I like it, but this is very, very outside of the Skywalker saga, kind of what we've accustomed to know about Star Wars. It's a very niche part of the story. There is no mysticism. And all the reasons I loved Rogue One, Andor's has lived up to it in the first three episodes.
Yes. Normally, when we do Rule of Two, we spend a decent amount of time talking about things like Easter eggs and references to previous films or stories in the Star Wars universe, how they're reintegrating these things into the new content. That is not this show. This show has its own story, has its own characters that it wants to dive into. And the thing that I love about it so much is that it's firmly within the Star Wars universe, but it is not dependent on referring to previous Star Wars works.
Yeah, I guess if you've watched Rogue One, it gives you a vibe of who Cassian is, gives you a little bit more curiosity. Okay, like, how did he get to be how he was? But you're right, Maze, you could have not watched Rogue One, literally could not have watched anything other than the original trilogy. And I think you could watch this series and be like, okay, I kind of get what's going on. Where do you want to go right here? Do you want to talk about some of the cast and crew? Let's talk about cast and crew.
Yeah. This episode, these first three episodes were directed by Toby Haynes. He'll be back for episodes 8, 9, and 10. He did the USS Callister episode of Black Mirror, the Reichenbach Fall episode of Sherlock, and 5 episodes of Doctor Who. So he's a British TV director. It was created and written by Tony Gilroy, and he's the guy that we really need to talk about the most. He, of course, came in and cleaned up Rogue One. He's famously known for Michael Clayton and the Bourne trilogy. And so there was a great interview with him on the Watch podcast this week where he said a lot of exciting things. He felt like he had a lot of room to breathe with this show. Normally, he feels confined to the 128 pages of a movie script. And in a 12-episode season, 24-episode show, he gets to dive into the minutiae and not be forced to zoom through this just to hit the plot points. One of the reasons that he's able to do this is because he had a lot of cachet coming off of Rogue One, which we know was very successful. It was successful both financially and critically. I think you and I agree, Amin, that it is the best piece of Star Wars content to come out since the original trilogy. Maybe The Mandalorian is up there as well.
Certainly the best since Disney took over.
And he's not here for a check. He's not here to do fan service. He had a story he wanted to tell, and he made points to call out and recognize Luke Hull, the production designer. He referred to him as Mozart-like, and I have to agree, the production design is something that I'm excited to talk to you about.
Right.
Producer Sana Wallenberg, and they both worked on Chernobyl. We've got a lot of Chernobyl DNA in the show, as well as Mohan Leo and TJ Falls in visual effects, who worked on Rogue One with him. High praise for his collaborators, and this is really a labor of love.
When I went to see Rogue One, its premiere, you know, like when you go into the premiere, you walk through the red carpet, you go inside, you got to turn in your phone, and then you got to sit there, and all that's on the screen, they don't do previews or anything like that. They just have a live feed of the interviews that are happening on the red carpet. And I remember everyone who was involved with Rogue One, they all talked about being so excited to be in Star Wars and how they couldn't believe it, and then, like, that fades, and it's replaced with, holy shit, I'm in Star Wars. I can't fuck this up. That's a very real feeling. So I've said this before about other Star Wars shows that we've done. You can tell when the filmmakers have a reverence for what they are doing versus just doing whatever they want to do. And the reverence was very, very obvious here, even though, as Maze pointed out, there were very little Easter eggs in any of this. There were almost no characters other than Cassian, who we recognized, we had even heard of. It's a pretty incredible feat to create brand new stuff within not only an existing universe, but also a very tight window here, Maze. We're talking Age of Empire, but before Rogue One. So it's 5 BBY.
Right.
5 years before the Battle of Yavin. it definitely comes across. And it really is exciting because I think a lot of people think, man, like, you got to do the same stuff that everyone's done. And that's what I'm talking about. Like, no, I want new characters. I want new stories. I just don't want them to tread over things that already existed. And here comes my obligatory kicking out of Kenobi one more time.
Oh.
Just one more. It's one more.
You wish you knew how to quit shitting on Kenobi.
Me and my kids, in order to get ready for this last weekend, we watched Rogue One again. We hadn't watched it in a few years. Let's rewatch Rogue One just to get brushed up on the character and his characteristics and all that. And got to the scene where the rebellion finds out, hey, Jyn Erso and these guys, they took off. They're fighting on Scarif. Admiral Raddus has left. He's going to go support them. What are we doing? Mon Mothma says, all right, everyone go support them, whatever. And she grabs Bail Organa and she says,
your friend, the Jedi.
He served me well during the Clone Wars and has lived in hiding since the Emperor's Purge. Yes, I will send for him.
Boom. Case closed, man. You're not in hiding if you're out here fighting Darth Vader three times. You're not in hiding if you're coming over to Alderaan for a squatch. This is not hiding. One last time, thank you, Kenobi, and thank everybody who made the decisions to make it the way it was. Maybe that's a little too harsh. All right. I'm upset. I'm very passionate about my Star Wars, people.
The playoffs have started in basketball and hockey, and there's really only one way that I can enjoy it. For me, drinking Miller Lite while the action is going on makes the game that much more exciting and that much more delicious. A lot has changed over the years, but one thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. So what do you look for in a light beer? Great taste or less filling? For me, it's great taste and less filling. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality, great taste, and only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. A light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right at your door, visit MillerLite.com/crate, C-R-A-T-E. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
All right, so now the cast. Diego Luna, of course, returns as Cassian Andor. He's our one tether to Rogue One so far.
He's got a new nickname, Kasa.
Or is that his real name?
Oh, that's true.
We don't know, and Cassian is just what developed out of it. I like that theory that's floating around there.
Yeah.
You know Diego from Narcos Mexico, Y Tu Mama Tambien, Milk, If Beale Street Could Talk. We know Cassian is a hero of the rebellion who's not afraid to get his hands dirty, and that is echoed in this show when we first see him looking for his sister at a brothel, and he ends up murdering two men that try and rob him. So that carries over almost directly from the character we know and love from Rogue One.
Right.
First three episodes consist of him trying to secure safe passage off of Ferrix, which we'll talk about in a little bit, to elude capture for his crimes. And we also get flashbacks to his childhood on Canary, and we learn that he's an adopted refugee. So what do you think of our introduction to Cassian's origin story here, Amin?
I should say, this episode, it starts with what I began to realize very quickly. This is Star Wars for adults, man. He's walking into this red light district like it's Amsterdam with the hookers in the windows.
The bubbles, yeah.
And he walks into a brothel. At first, like, that's a bar, but then the lady comes out and says, oh, can I help you? What are you looking for? And I'm like, oh, shit, this guy's at a whorehouse watching this with my kids. And, of course, he is the hero of this story, and we've gotten a lot of, like, pure heroes out of many of these Disney Star Wars vehicles, but here comes Cassian. He walks out the brothel. He gets shaken down by these two guys who, yes, they're harassing him and they're asshole cops, but at the end of the day, like, they didn't do much. And he inadvertently kills one and then says, well, shit, you know, this has to go. He shoots the other in the face, Maze. And I was like, okay, dark, adult themes. So there's that part of it that I was like, oh, wow. And then the other part of it is his background, where I think we all, at least I did, I imagined him growing up on some planet that was occupied by the Empire, kind of like Saw Gerrera, you know, like most of the rebels, sick and tired of the Empire shit. But we find out Canary is like this weird, uninhabited anymore planet due to a mining disaster, a real one, not like what they called Jeddah in Rogue One.
Well, is it though? I think that's still up for debate. I think that we might learn more about that, but continue.
We know that there are no adults?
Yes. And so my question for that is, because young Cassa is living in the woods settlement run by children, Lord of the Flies style. And so I ask you, Amin, are those orphans of the dead miners that have escaped into the woods, or are they the original inhabitants of the planet that has been overrun by this mining corporation?
I think it's the latter. They're very rudimentary, primitive society, Ewok-like, which is, again, another weird thing. Like, usually in Star Wars, humanoid races are sophisticated. They have speeders, they have blasters, you know, they have space travel, right? Even if you think about the episode of Mandalorian, where the villagers are being terrorized by some bandits who've gotten a hold of an AT-AT.
Oh, yes. The classic Xena warrior princess episode of Mandalorian.
Which they never came back, right? Like, didn't we think that was going to be a love interest, but never appeared again. They just wrote them out. Even that society, as primitive as they were, or agrarian society, they were familiar with blasters. They knew what that thing was. They just didn't have one. They were just poor, in other words. But this society is closer to like Ewoks, spears, and blow darts. And it's very rudimentary to the point where when Cassian enters the crashed ship to investigate, he is A, in awe of all of this technology around him, but B, he is shocked and surprised by his reflection.
Mm-hmm.
So even a mirror is something like, I'm not saying he's never seen before. He didn't sound like he thought that was someone else over there. He knew that was him. But it was something where it's like, I haven't seen a mirror in years. My, how I've aged. I look so different.
Yeah, that's why I kind of think that it's all the parents got killed.
I don't think they were slaughtered. I think they died of some sort of...
Well, there was allegedly a mining accident that released toxins.
Right.
So I think that all their parents were miners that died.
See, I think all their parents were natives who the toxins inadvertently infected. It kills adults. For whatever reason, children are immune. But most importantly, I don't think these kids understand the connection of why the adults all died. Because they didn't approach this thing with anger or hostility.
Mm-hmm.
They were kind of like, what's going on here? You know, let's look around, until their leader got shot and then they went crazy, right? That's why I don't think it's something direct like, oh, mom and dad died in an accident while they were at work.
Mm-hmm.
One, because the technology just seems to be way too primitive. And also, reminder, they don't speak basic.
Right.
Basic is what English is in Star Wars. They speak Qunari.
That was what was really interesting about all of these flashback scenes, was that there's absolutely no translation. It's all communicated wordlessly. They're speaking their own tongue. And when they go to investigate the ship, all of the passengers of the ship have yellow faces and appear to be poisoned. So mm-hmm. Do you think that's them coming into contact with the Qunari atmosphere?
Yes, I think that's exactly that. And they all have gas masks on.
Mm-hmm.
And we know later on when Marva, who's the woman that eventually abducts Cassian, like that's, we'll get on that later.
A little bit of both.
They're aware of the toxic nature of Qunari. They enter with masks on, and it isn't until the little droid gives them the all clear that there are no toxins in the air. So yeah, I think that's how those people died.
One of the passengers has a sigil that appears to be the Separatist emblem, but later Marva says that the Republic is closing in on the wreckage. So Amin, did you read that as the ship being a Republic ship or a Separatist ship?
That was very confusing, because even in the reviews I saw, people were saying Separatist, but clearly there's a Republic ship going on. This is during the Clone Wars. My guess is it is a Separatist ship that had been attacked by a Republic ship and then ended up crashing on this Republic-held planet. But again, that would contradict what Marva says about, we got to get out of here, because once they see they killed one of their people, they're just going to kill the kid. I don't know. That needs some clarity there.
Yeah, I read it similarly. I thought that the Republic was coming in to confirm the kill, essentially, and make sure that nothing got out. But we'll see if we go back to Qunari. We'll see if we develop this past plot line a little bit more. I'm definitely intrigued by it. But this whole sequence on Qunari was a great, great origin for Cassian, and the way that it all sews together with Marva bringing him on the ship with him boarding the ship with the next guy we're going to talk about, which is Luthen Rael, and the look on his face as he is taken to yet another world. That was a great, great ending of episode 3. Stellan Skarsgård, Papa Skarsgård, plays Luthen Rael. He's most recently been in Dune and Chernobyl, but he's one of the greatest Scandinavian actors of all time. He is the potential buyer of Cassian's MacGuffin. The MacGuffin, of course, Amin, is the Imperial NS9 Starpath Navigational Unit. And he travels to Ferrix to buy this piece of equipment. He's impressed with Cassian's work, especially how he's able to just walk into Imperial bases and take what he wants. During the transaction, it is revealed that he is a recruiter looking to stoke the rebellion against the Empire, Amin.
Yep, the device that Maze speaks of, basically, it gives you all the logs of all the hyperspace routes and stuff like that. And if it's plugged in on your ship, you appear as an Imperial ship. So it's not only a great cloaking device for a smuggler, but also a great way to figure out where everyone's going, where the Imperial hyperspace routes are and all that. I imagine in the next couple of episodes, Maze, we're going to get some of the flashback stuff from Luthen's life, because the trailers have him sometimes looking as rough and rugged as he is when he meets Cassian in the warehouse. And sometimes he looks very splendid in very elegant robes, and his hair is a little bit longer and curly and flowing. And he's out here kissing dignitaries, and Mon Mothma is one of them. So I think we're going to get a little bit of back and forth there as far as his past, which I believe is probably he's from Coruscant or some other more developed planet like that. But we don't know much. All we know is that he seems to know a lot about Cassian. Now, here's a question, Maze. He says, your father was hung in the square. Is he talking about the guy that was with Marva? I didn't catch his name. Clem?
Yeah, Clem Andor. I thought I saw him running around outside Marva's place when the security shows up.
Right. I thought so too, but
I'm not positive on that.
Might have just been another black guy.
It's possible. I thought that was him, so I guess we'll get some more development on that. Luthen also drops the line in referring to the Empire. Their arrogance is remarkable, isn't it? They don't even think about us.
Yeah.
Sets the tone for the rebellion that is brewing. Adria Arjona plays Bix Killeen.
Oh.
You might know her from Good Omens, previous Cinephobe Six Underground, Irma Vep, the new father of the bride, with Andy Garcia, and Morbius.
Oh, man.
She's a mechanic and parts harvester. There's definite serious tension with Cassian, I mean.
Oh, I can feel it all the way in my plums.
There's also that line where Marva says, all your women.
Yeah.
Starts listing them off.
Yep.
Bix is part of the underground network of traitors on Ferrix. She's the one who makes the call to Luthen. She's dating Tim Carlo, who's played by James McArdle.
Oh, Tim.
She even visits him for a late night booty call. We're getting booty calls on Star Wars.
Again, this is very, like, I was like, oh my God, what's, because she comes over and I'm like, okay, she's coming over, so what? And then, like, when she opens her jacket up to reveal her chest, not bare, but like, you know, she puts it out there. I'm like, okay. And so then I started thinking, like, has there ever been, like, a sex scene in Star Wars? Because they kissed, and I'm like, oh. And then I'm like, oh, no, they've kissed in Star Wars before. But I'm like, no, this is, like, a different kind of kiss.
Yeah.
This ain't, like, it ain't, like, the closed mouth kiss that we get. You know, this is, like, you saw a little tongue kind of, yum, yum, yum. And I'm like, okay. Then I was like, have we ever had a sex scene in Star Wars? And I'm looking at my kids, like, what's happening here? And they go to the bedroom. And then I was like, oh, you know, they could do. They could just cut to, like, oh, we're in bed. But I'm like, no, they wouldn't do that. And sure enough, they cut to her in bed, and he's sitting there like Cuck O'Leary in the chair just staring at her.
Couldn't sleep.
She gets up, and Maze, she's not wearing any pants.
No, she's not.
And I don't know if she's wearing any underwear either, because I don't see any evidence. Even though you can't see her privates, it looks bare butt ass naked from the side like that. And that's when it hit me. I'm like, yo, this is definitely adult Star Wars. As adult as it's ever been.
It's another level, certainly. And Tim is quite jealous of Cassian. Doesn't help that Bix keeps lying to him by saying that she needs to run errands. But this leads Tim to snitch and call the security guys that we'll talk about in a minute. And also buy a boat named Live Forever, I mean.
Nah, he definitely, but yes and no, right? Like, yes, he did that. I'm like, all right, well, he's not long for this world. But the way he went out did surprise me. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But you said he snitched? Tim snitched? Who did he snitch to?
Oh, he snitched to Kyle Soller, who plays Cyril Karn. He's a British stage and television actor making his mainstream coming out party.
He's British?
Almost everyone in this show is British, I mean.
Here I was like, oh, finally, someone with an American accent here.
No.
Oh, man. Yeah, get him up out of here. All right, well, Cyril Karn is Super Cop, basically. So remember the beginning where Cassian kills the two shitty cops? The chief inspector says, make it go away, basically.
Sweep it under the rug. I don't want to tell the Empire about this.
What's happening here, Morlana One and the whole Preox thing, if you remember in Empire Strikes Back, how Lando Calrissian was like, hey, we got this nice little mining operation here and it flies under the Empire's radar, which we now know to have been a lie. But the idea is this. These systems where there is industry, a lot of times there are companies that kind of run everything because the Empire can't be everywhere at all times. They don't give a shit. Like, as long as you got order in your system and you paying your taxes and your tribute, they don't give a shit. So the old Preox Morlana system, the whole thing is a company and they've got this industry over here and they have to have their own security force, their own police. These are not Imperials. These are not stormtroopers. These are somehow worse than stormtroopers, Maze.
Yeah, man. These are rent-a-cops. These are mall cops of the galaxy.
Like most mall cops, they have like an inflated sense of self-worth that they derive from harassing people. People who are not looking for harassment. And that's why those two guys died. Chief Inspector knows this, so he tells Cyril, because we can't have the Empire thinking we don't have our shit together, it's just easier for us to say, yeah, like, you know, some unfortunate shit and make it go away. But Cyril is one of those principled people. And these are our brothers, and we have to do everything within our power, and blah, blah, blah. And so he doesn't let it go. He goes full speed ahead investigating this. Eventually, they track down Cassian through a bunch of leads, search their archives of the ships that left, and da-da-da-da. Long story short, they get it. They find out where Cassian is. They put out the APB. That's how Tim snitches. He sees the note, and he calls in to the security HQ. Now, Maze, this is the interesting part. All the review people that I know and love and follow, like Star Wars Theory and Screen Rant and stuff like that, they all got the vibe that Cyril is conflicted about what they're doing and is this right, and they try to apprehend Cassian and a bunch of guys die. He may feel conflicted about their role. I didn't get that vibe at all.
Not even a little bit.
The vibe I got, let me see if you're with me on this, is that Cyril is a desk jockey who has risen due to his stick-to-itiveness and attention to detail and all that, but really has very little field action. So when the sergeant says, you coming with us? He's like, yeah. And the sergeant's like, yeah, it'll be good morale and all that stuff. But you could tell this dude is scared shitless. And so as they're going through the shit in the field, that's the shock of, oh shit, man, I'm way in over my head.
I completely agree. He's got delusions of grandeur. He's got a real self-righteousness to him. I don't think that there's a single doubt that he's doing the right thing, quote unquote, in these episodes. Yes, he's absolutely green. He's not prepared for combat. There's that great moment where he gives that absolutely dull, uninspiring speech to rally the troops. He's cowering in the doorway when Cassian pops up behind him
and then gives up everything
immediately.
There's 14 of us. There's 12 soldiers and 2 officers or whatever.
He's a fantastic antagonist, and I have a feeling he's gonna get harshly reprimanded by his superior whenever this guy comes back for just making it a way bigger mess.
Sure.
But he's got the most punchable face in the galaxy, I mean.
Absolutely. And I get the vibe of this is a guy who now is not going to let this thing go as a result. Not only did cost men their lives and also humiliated him in person, but also now got me in trouble with my superior officer. This is a dude who's not going to let it go, I don't think. And yes, his face is incredibly punchable.
I don't think that he'll necessarily have success because this is Cassian's story after all, but Cyril definitely strikes me as the guy who could eventually rise to be one of those grade A douches in the Imperial Command.
Yeah, ISB, the Imperial Security Bureau, which is the secret police, the KGB, if you will, of the Empire.
Next up, we got Fiona Shaw as Marva Andor. You know her from Killing Eve. She's Aunt Petunia in the Harry Potter movies, Fleabag. She was the leader of the Wiccan sex cult in True Blood.
Oh, yes.
She's Cassian's adopted mother, who was a scavenger in the past and now refuses to turn on the heat in her home. She's fantastic. I absolutely love her. And she dropped the gem line of the first three episodes, which is when everybody's banging on the metal. That's what a reckoning sounds like. You want it to stop, but it just keeps coming.
That was a great line. And that whole ringing, we haven't really touched on that. That when these Preox Morlana security brigade descend on the city, the entire city is coordinated in ringing and banging these bells all over. And you might say, why is it so kind of rudimentary? The reason why is because, as we've seen, your comms can get hacked. And indeed, that's what Luthen tells Cassian. Mm-hmm. He says, give me your comms, and he crushes it because this is a liability.
Don't carry anything you can't control.
Exactly. The city has a way of communicating so people know we're on the alert. Ironically, Maze, when I work for the Suns, when Robert Sarver would arrive at the arena or in the building.
Ah, topical.
The security guys had a code. And the code was the goldfish is in the bowl. Because Robert had a way of like just walking into random places and be like, why is this like this? Great example. In the Suns locker room, you have the video room. That's where the video coordinators are. It's a bunch of, at the time, DVRs and DVD racks and stuff like that and TVs. It's a very small room. It's a dungeon. There are no windows. They're just screens. In the back of the video room, there is a makeshift locker room. And when I say makeshift, I mean it's just a little space that they walled off on the other side, and they put some old leftover wooden lockers that you might find from like the YMCA in there. And that's where the video coordinators would hang all their shit, right? Our practice gear and all that stuff. Robert would walk into that back area, which literally no one would ever go into unless you were specifically going there to change, and then ask why it was so messy. So whenever he was in the building, it was a risk for everybody. So they would send the code out by banging on these proverbial bells by saying the goldfish is in the building.
Dave Chapman is the droid B2 Emo, which might be the most absurd droid name in the history of Star Wars. I mean,
yeah, they thought of Chopper, who is C110P. And if you spell that out, C1-10P, it looks like C, a really big H0P, Chopper. Like, oh, that's pretty witty. And like, well, let's do one of ours. What if he's like Emo and we call him B2 Emo? A little too on the nose there, boys.
So Dave Chapman was one of the three puppeteers who performed BB-8 in the latest trilogy. And we see B2 Emo in his prime in the flashbacks, as well as a more worn, glitchier version in the present. And he needs an extra charge in order to lie. I mean, which I really liked that concept.
This brings me to something very interesting, Maze, about this show. It's a show of lying. The amount of lying in this show.
Deception.
Lies! Deception!
We'll be hearing from him soon enough, so it makes sense.
Cassian telling his buddy Brasso to lie and tell him what lie to say, and Brasso giving him a better lie back. Cassian telling B2 Emo to lie and B2 Emo having problems with lying. The chief inspector telling Cyril to lie. Bix lying to Tim. Cassian trying to compel Zan, the transport guy.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is incentivized to lie and deceive in this show. It's a very central theme. Even if you think about Cassian searching for his sister, and when he asks the madam at the brothel what was the name she gave, the madam looks at him incredulously and says, nobody gives their real name here. Everybody lies. This is a show where, buckle up, people, everything is under false pretenses. This is the dirty, gritty underside of the rebellion. And even Luthen, if you think about it, he's there under the auspices to buy this device, but really he reveals, no, I came for you. I don't give a shit about the box.
Absolutely. Luthen's got a great advanced scouting department to identify potential rebels. You mentioned Brasso. Joplin Subtain plays Brasso, and we got Gary Beadle as Clem Andor, Marva's husband, scavenging partner from the past. I wonder if we'll stay on Ferrix going forward. Clearly, we're following Cassian off-world, but another thing Tony Gilroy mentioned in his interview on The Watch was that there's 192 speaking parts in this show.
Damn.
So it's going to have a massive scope. We're going to be going all over, and it'll be interesting to see if we come back to Ferrix or if we're able to get Bix off of Ferrix.
Right. I have to believe that she comes back, given that she has a past relationship with Cassian that we've established, not only professional, but also... But also, as we alluded to earlier, her man Tim died, and he didn't die like a bitch. He didn't die on some sucker shit.
Didn't he?
No, he didn't, man. Like, he ran
right into a gunshot. I would say that's not the strongest way to die.
It's not smart, but it is brave. Because the police, being the police, they've roughed her up. He walks down and sees her bleeding, says, Bix. And like, let her go. What are you guys doing? You're like, this is abuse. And the cop says, get back, keep walking, whatever. And he stops in that moment. And he thought about it, Maze. He thought about bitching out and being like, I guess I'll just go home and I'll see you later. But then he was like, no, man, that's my girl. What are y'all doing? And then he charged. And then the other one, the other doofus in the back who reminded me of, what was the guy in The Wire who also has a punchable face?
Prez?
Yes, Prez. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now that you mention it, yes, Cyril really does look like Prez Balooski.
Yeah, he looks like Prez Balooski, but in this case, this other rent-a-cop does the Prez Balooski thing, which is, in The Wire, he hit a kid, I believe, on the ear, right? Pistol whipped him or some shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
The kid goes deaf in the ear. They take him off the street and they put him behind a desk as a result. In this case, this dude shot the dude. And so he has his rifle taken from him and tell him, you're driving now. Go get the ship. Which, of course, thanks to Brasso, is tied to some junk and ends up crashing.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Brasso. That's a real friend right there, ladies and gentlemen. So I think we're going to see Bix again for those reasons, right? Like, this can't be just something in his past. Will she survive at all? Probably not. But I think we're going to see more of her.
Let's talk a little bit about the look of the show.
Mm-hmm.
That's been not the main thing holding us back from previous Star Wars series, but a big complaint of ours has been how obvious it is when we're in the volume due to the circular nature of the frame, how much of the production design is reliant upon digital effects. And I have to say, the look and feel just of Ferrix here, it felt like a real place. I couldn't believe it, how much incredibly descriptive detail there was in just about every corner of this planet.
Again, because I'm on this plateau for all time, compare and contrast with Obi-Wan with the terrible CGI when they had the whole attack on Fortress Inquisitorius. Compare and contrast with the look of Boba Fett with Mighty Morphin Power Rangers speeders. It was so incongruent. This not only looked cool and real because they use a lot of actual stuff as opposed to CGI, but also it looked in place, right? Canary looked like Canary should have looked. Ferrix looks like Ferrix should have looked. The people in Ferrix look like people who would live in a place like this. Working class people clocking in, grabbing their gloves off a wall, having to hear like that Flintstones whistle.
Yeah. How about that hammer guy?
Yeah.
Let's talk about him for a minute. He was in the zone.
He loves his job.
Stu, my God-given abilities allow me to do every single day, man.
Do what you love and you'll never work a day, right?
And then all the computer terminals, the way that the scrapyards looked, even when we go back to Morlana headquarters, that looked fantastic. I love the detail of Cyril adapting his own uniform, and his looks a little different because he customized it, because that's the type of guy he is.
Uh-huh.
There was just lots of little moments, little things that we saw that added a lot of depth to this story, which was very patient and very unlike the rushed nature of the previous shows we've done.
Mm-hmm. So, Maze, let's go back there. I want to ask you the question I asked at the beginning. I really haven't looked around at too much reaction, particularly on social media. But do people like this, or is this too inside? Is this too deliberate?
From what I can tell, the reaction has been strong. But I think that if there are people out there who were riding for Obi-Wan, this might not be what they're looking for. These are not the shows you're looking for.
Right.
So while it's pretty clear to us that this is a cut above and just a very different experience, I'm not sure necessarily that the mainstream will latch on as strongly as we have.
Right. It's a very gritty show.
I mean, you mentioned several times the adult nature of it. What was your kids' reaction?
They liked it. They were enthralled. They weren't bored at all. My kids are the type that start talking if they're not paying attention. So they were into it. The twins needed some explaining of things. Like, they didn't understand what was happening between Cyril and the chief inspector. Mm-hmm. They didn't understand what was happening between Cyril and the sergeant. Like, when the sergeant's like, finally, at last, someone takes this stuff seriously, da-da-da. And pockets of fomenting. They needed to explain to them that these aren't Imperials. Little things like that. But for the most part, they got it. Like, the flashbacks, not only did they get it, but, like, my kid was like, oh, that's a good transition. You know how they kept mirroring, like, wow, what was happening in the past with what was happening in the present? Yeah, my kid was like, ooh.
Real eye for editing already. I like it.
So that was pretty cool. But yeah, man, they liked it. And they're excited for it.
I think my favorite little detail that was revealed, and one of the things that we have to comment on, is the lack of explicit exposition.
Yes.
This show does a great job of showing, not telling. The fact that they can do an entire flashback essentially without words and it works is a triumph. But there's the moment where Marva and Clem bring Cassian aboard the ship, and we see Clem use the pop-out storage locker, and we realize that Cassian has been sleeping in that ship, which is lying in a salvage yard, the whole time.
Yes.
That was a beautiful unspoken connection to how important that ship is to him and how thankful he is probably for the new life that he was given.
In a weird way, I was like, he kind of took it in stride. Maybe next episode we'll see him once he got his bearings, how he actually felt. But him waking up and was like, oh yeah, so we're flying. It was like, he kind of took it in stride that these people just kidnapped him.
You were expecting a little more screaming and resistance?
Yeah. Ah! You know, like, I'm flying.
Where am I?
Yeah. This is kind of weird. Also, there's a planet. What's the planet that Marva tells him we tell people we're from?
Fest.
Fest, which made me think of Star Wars Celebration. I'm always interested when they bring up planet names. Are these new names? Are these new planets? Or have they been mentioned anywhere else? So we got four planets mentioned. We got Fest, Canary, Ferrix, and we got Morlana 1. Oh, and Wobani.
Yes, there's a brief reference to Wobani.
Yeah, are we doing that Wobani run?
Which is where Cassian finds Jyn Erso in Rogue One.
Yes, it is a detention center planet. It is a prison planet. You're right. That's exactly where the rebellion breaks Jyn Erso out. Another mild Easter egg, Maze, was when they're reading Andor's rap sheet. Right? When they're like, oh, we got a lead here, Cassian Andor, assaulting, da-da-da, resisting, da-da-da. It reminded me of when the Rebels read Jyn Erso her rap sheet to her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they first bring her to Yavin 4, assaulting, whatever, resisting arrest, and she's like, what are we doing here? So there's a couple of little mild Easter eggs. The town that they are on in Ferrix, all the signs are in Arabish, and if you translate them, they say things like parts, screens, droids, repair, all types of. The only place that doesn't have like a very generic thing is Zan's, I don't know what that is, ticket office or whatever you want to call him. It says Zan. The other thing was the guy that Andor owes money to.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets the other guy to act as muscle for him. I like that. My kids like that too. We had a good laugh at the whole. When he turns around, he says, what did he tell you? He's like, well, he told me just to stand here.
Yep.
So he's like, okay, so he's not your muscle. You're trying to intimidate me. That was a nice little exchange. But also, I like how they're painting this picture that Cassian, everyone he's getting favors off of is kind of like, this guy's full of shit, right? The guy in the shipyard where he sees him switching out the logs. He's like, what are you doing? You know, and he says, don't come by here anymore. Like, everyone kind of knows this dude's full of shit.
Yes. Cassian, like I said, he's not afraid to get his hands dirty. He's living kind of a schemer life. He's borrowing ships and going to commit crimes. He's holding out on Bix with some valuable equipment that he apparently just walked right into an Imperial base to get. He's kind of a sketchy character, and that holds true to the guy we know from Rogue One, who understands that not everything is going to be neat and tidy. Amin, I'm going to ask you, we got 9 episodes of this. I really loved the initial 3 drop. I thought it was really effective, but are you excited to go more granular in the future, week by week?
Yeah, I like that we get, like, we've set it up. At first, I was like, 3 episodes is too much, but having watched it and it ends with him leaving Ferrix, this is the basis for the story that's going to come. Also, discovering that it wasn't going to be 6 episodes, because that was my other worry, was that this was going to be, all right, we're already halfway done. Like,
yeah,
it's nice to know that we've got a little bit of a run ahead of us here, where we're going to get to focus on him fighting the Empire, which is presumably what we came here for.
I'm excited to meet Mon Mothma. I'm excited to learn about Luthen Ryle's other life. And I'm really just excited to live in this world.
And the imps. I want to know about the imps, man.
That's right.
The main villains that we've seen in all the trailers. The blonde woman. The old dudes giving a toast, you know. Those are the people that I'm curious about. I'm sure, as I said, Cyril will rise again somewhere, somehow. No offense, Preox Morlana, but I'm here for some imp action.
Absolutely.
And also Bix. I want more Bix. That's going to do it for us here on Rule of Two. Stay tuned every week here on Mystery Crate. We're going to be doing this for as long as this show goes on.
All the way through Thanksgiving, I mean.
There it is, man. Way to be thankful. For my apprentice, Darth Cornpuzzle, I am Darth Amin, telling you.
That's what a reckoning sounds like, I mean. You want it to stop, but it just keeps coming.
Amazing. Star Wars, what a show, am I right?
God. Oh my God. I was hanging on the bottom of nothing.
On nothing? Oh, wow.
That one lightsaber part was wild.
I got caught out there on the ledge.
Baby Yoda.
Uh-oh.
He's so cute, right?
Right. What about Luke Skywalker? Did you see him? Holy, is he in this one?
Uncle Luke?
Darth Vader.
Uncle Luke.
I'm your father.
I don't think he does that laugh. I'm not an expert.
No, I don't think he laughs.
He should. He should have added a laugh in there.
No, I don't know.
I learned the other day that Vader means father in German. And so it was
really?
Kind of a giveaway.
Dark father.
I don't know if that's true. I did not Google it. Someone said it to me and I took them at the word.
Dark father.
It's not dark. It's Darth.
So actually,
no, and a darky,
a little revelation dark, about myself. I dressed up as Darth Vader for Halloween as a 5-year-old, despite never having seen Star Wars. And to this day, have only seen like one of the movies.
Do you have the picture?
I think so. What? I had the full mask, and I walked around and did the impression. Didn't know who Darth Vader was. Didn't know who Luke Skywalker was. Just wanted to be Darth Vader, like the costume.
A parents' decision.
Nice. Right?
According,
no, it was my decision.
According really? To Google, Vader yeah. means father in Dutch. Let me see.
It sounds more Dutch. You're right.
Yeah, what I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
But doesn't Goldmember say Faja? Isn't that Dutch?
Well,
that's not.
He wasn't.
He's from Holland. Yeah, that's Dutch.
Dutch.
Yeah,
so he was speaking like
technically
freaking
accurate.
Dutch.
Yeah.
Yeah. No wonder. Tony, while we were listening to Amin,
yeah, Chris, I didn't get any
Chris,
answers.
Please.
Shut the fuck up!
Oh.
While we were listening to Amin, did you decide if you're getting braces for 2 years?
I think you know.
We should vote. We should put it on a poll.
Imagine Harry. I should get braces.
Tony, yeah, imagine Harry Carey playing Darth Vader.
Hey, everybody.
I'm your father.
Look, I'm your father.
Imagine Go Piss Mike doing it.
Oh my God, Go Piss Mike.
Does Adam Silver look like a light bulb?
I'm your father.
That was a good Go Piss right there.
Yeah,
where's
good.
Go Piss been? I miss him.
Huh.
Go Miss.
So here's the thing about the braces,
buddy,
right?
I'm your father.
He told me it was going to be like, he's like, conservatively, 24 months.
Conservatively.
And I'm like, so what does that mean? He's like, it might be more.
Ooh.
Last time I checked, 24 months is 2 years.
Yeah.
Right.
It hasn't changed, right?
It still is.
That's not right, Juju.
They told me like 3 years and it was on for like five, so.
That's what orthodontists do.
Yeah.
So they're going to be 37 years old with braces?
That's how they get you.
Yeah, they try to sell low so that you agree to do it. And then they're like, well, you didn't wear your rubber band, so this is really on you.
I have to wear rubber bands?
Those damn rubber bands. Man, I had braces in middle school. It was okay, other than those damn, you had to go get them tightened. Like painful for like 2 days.
Guys, what is that? I don't like that. What does that mean?
Dude, they literally rubber band the top and bottom of your mouth so you can like barely, like it's like a struggle to even like lift your mouth up.
They also, so like I had braces for like 18 months and they would put like, first they'd put like a flexible wire in it. So your teeth wouldn't move that much.
Ooh.
Then they'd put like a thicker one and then a thicker one and it would constantly like put more and more pressure on your teeth to move over time.
I would bust those shit out. I'd be like, fuck it.
And sometimes a wire will snap and then you just have like this thing in your mouth that's cutting the inside of your mouth.
You.
Remember, that thing is going to be on the top of my, on the roof of my mouth.
It's fucking terrible. You should do it though. It's good for your health.
Yeah, it is. Can I make a public apology before this episode ends?
Sure.
Yeah.
I need to publicly apologize to Jessica.
Uh-oh. Why? You shit on me in stupidity this week?
No, not you. We were talking to Golic on God Bless Football.
Mm.
And
How did I know?
We were kind of following up on the whole situation with whether Stugatz was invited to the house or not. Mm-hmm. If you
he's
were
not,
invited.
But go on.
No, he's not. And Mike Golic made that very clear. But said that you and your boyfriend will be there. And he's like, I have never met Jess's boyfriend
Lehman.
Before. Yeah. And we're like, he's. And then that was it. We just kept moving along.
That was the part you have to apologize for?
Yeah, no, I want to apologize for that because you were going for the joke.
You apologize to Lee.
No, I am. I want to apologize to Lee, too.
He's a great guy, too.
He's Lehman.
He's very lovely, so I just want to publicly apologize and also give you a heads up that's happening so that you don't hear it if you listen,
which you
probably
don't.
You
should give Lee a
heads up. Yeah.
Right. Well,
Disrespectful to him.
You're like a Jersey Shore character that calls their spouse before it comes out.
Yeah, yeah.
And tells them the bad stuff that they're going to see.
Sam.
Don't watch episode 7.
Sam, I'm sorry. I cheated on you
40 times again. Sorry. I love you. Love Ronnie.
Tripped and fell.
We should gamify that.
Yeah.
On DraftKings.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm in.
Yeah. Always. All right.
I appreciate your honesty, Billy. I don't take it personally. Nothing that's said on Stupidity is necessarily, truth-seeking.
Lehman!
Whoa.
So here's the thing, guys.
What are you trying to say there? I mean,
I'm not trying to shit on your credibility, but more so Stugatz's and his show.
What's Stugatz going to think if Tony gets braces?
That's a good question.
Well, Mark, hold on. Because I'm going
the infatuation may go away. You never know.
Did you see this horrible haircut he got?
You're trying to say he's going to be less
good.
Hot?
It's not a good haircut.
Not a good haircut.
What?
Let's just wait a minute, guys.
Ambush.
Guys, hold on a second. Everybody get a piece of paper right now. Everyone get a piece of paper. Draw a line down the middle. Draw a line down the middle. Again, reminder, we don't have an HR department. Draw a line down the middle. On the left side, right, what Tony was rated pre-haircut, and then on the right side, what he's rated after haircut.
Guys, but here's the thing.
Post haircut?
It's been 8 years since I've had the same haircut. Yeah. I want to do something different. Again, you're looking at it a week after I cut it, so it's a little bit grown out. The fade isn't as sharp, but what it is.
I'll break the ice if you guys want.
No. I want you to go last.
Tony has to read them.
No, I can go first.
No, I want you to go last.
Well.
Mark,
is this anonymous?
No, Mark, go first.
That's fine.
No, we're supposed to give them to Tony.
We are?
Oh, you are? Oh.
Should we put it in the advice jar or whatever?
Billy's change jar.
In the change jar?
You know what? We should read one of those one day. Like, just take them all out.
I read all of them.
No, I do like this idea, by the way, for a bit.
What?
Like, a consistent bit of the change jar.
I like it, too. Is there money in it for me?
Yeah, CoinStar. Sponsored by CoinStar.
All of those are mine.
Get it done,
all the
Roman.
Things you need to change like, are for me.
It doesn't matter. Nope. Yeah, I'm the one changing.
DraftKings IP now. Thank
Boom.
You.
Boom. Yep. Yep. All right. I'm just going to come out and say, I said before a 6 and after a 4.
Billy.
So.
Wow.
Billy went for it.
See, I went 8, 4.7.
Wow.
Oh, Nefuna with a hatchet.
Wow. 100 and 1,000 posts.
Wow.
My boy started as a hundo, and now he a thou wow. You my partner.
Thank you, brother.
You're a good guy.
Yeah. Something. No, somebody put nothing.
Oh damn!
Look at the other side. Yeah. Maybe you look at the wrong side of the paper.
That's 49ers at Broncos plus 1.5.
I feel like Roy didn't do it.
Pre-8.4, yeah, no post-8.6.
I got you. I feel like that's
I got you, my guy.
Wow. Right there.
Okay.
Looks good, man. Look
at who did the last one?
What was the last
one? Oh, somebody wrote, I like you for you.
Oh.
Before or after.
Before.
So sweet.
Same.
Oh, that's so nice.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That must be a very supportive coworker.
Yeah right?
That was me. It was mine.
I knew it. How did you get it over here so fast?
I just, you know, I know.
You read Jess's what happened,
can we get this from Stugatz, though? I want to hear this from Stugatz, too.
It's always a bad behavior, Mark.
Yeah, yeah.
Mark, I'm always on 10.
Come on now.
Everybody takes back a picture.
You want me to call Stugatz?
Yes.
HR, man. Please, I got to get out of here.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.
Hold on. Wait. Chris Whittingham used to goes around the room and says, what are we promoting?
Yeah.
This week, I'm promoting our Levitar show, TikTok.
Yes. Wow.
Yes. Right now, for the weekend, if I know the followers right now. I see everybody. I didn't talk to anybody. I don't know anything.
Ooh.
But I'm giving away to the 100th follower of the weekend a signed Hakeem Nicks jersey.
Wow.
Let's go.
The entire crew.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Let's get it.
Dude, expense that. I'm telling you, expense that.
Yeah, make it a thousand.
Tomorrow. Also, in the Slack.
I saw.
Witty's playing the game in the Slack.
Witty, oye, no venga con cuento, papi, okay?
In the before, what? He was an 8 before and a 6.3 after.
Oh, my God. Witty. Sorry. I know Witty ain't talking with them white soul shoes.
Oh, no.
The Cole Hunts.
All right, guys. Stugatz is here. Stugatz, I need you to know.
Hey, buddy.
I need you to know. I want you to rate Tony before his haircut and then rate him after it.
What do you mean? Like scale 1 to 10 rating?
Yeah.
Pre-haircut and after.
Before the haircut, he was a 9.5.
Oh.
Okay.
After the haircut, 10.
Wow.
Okay, and how will your relationship with him change if he gets braces?
Tell him I'm gonna be late for Chris Sims.
Billy's gonna be late for Chris Sims.
He is? Why is he still there? Why is Billy still there?
All right. See you later.
Okay, goodbye.
Hey, wait.
The playoffs have started in basketball and hockey, and there's really only one way that I can enjoy it. For me, drinking Miller Lite while the action is going on makes the game that much more exciting and that much more delicious. A lot has changed over the years, but one thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. So what do you look for in a light beer? Great taste or less filling? For me, it's great taste and less filling. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality, great taste, and only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. A light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right at your door, visit MillerLite.com/crate, C-R-A-T-E. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.